Right, guys, today we have Kieran, ex-gang member, Crips from Manchester. How you doing, bro? Thanks for coming. Hell of a journey for you getting here today, no?
Yeah, mad.
They ended up getting him a taxi from Peterborough here.
Well, we're taking switch.
Mega money. Yeah. So, man, take us back to the beginning.
Yeah, I grew up South Manchester. So, like, Mosside, Old Trafford, Fallowfield, them type of areas. And just running around with gangs, like all my older peers back then was all gang members, you know. So
were them families or just friends that are around?
Both bit of both. It's like family friends, family members, but family friends, people I've grew up with, you know. So I didn't really see them as like these big bad gang members, because I've grew up with them. But so then as time goes on, you find yourself getting more and more involved. So it might start off, you might start selling weed. My thing was, I started selling weed from about, I don't know, about 12 years old.
Yeah.
Going to school, selling weed, whatever.
Where was you getting the weed from at 12?
Them?
Yeah.
The gang members was like, where we're from, it's not hard to get hold of these things.
So did you ask for it or did they put it on?
No, we asked for it.
Yeah.
You know, because growing up, we're seeing other people do it. We're seeing other people sell weed. We're seeing other people make money. Like, my thing was financial gain. Yeah. I wanted to make money. I wanted to make my own money. You know, so I didn't have to be a burden on my mum.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's what my thing was. Financial gain.
So what was your lifestyle like? Was it like, did you have like a normal one? Was it like a poor one? That I grew up, I didn't have the toys the same as everyone else. We was quite poor, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what I say, like, we didn't struggle, but we didn't have the best of everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
so that was where your drive was?
Yeah. It's like just me, my two younger brothers and an older sister, so there's four kids in the house. So if my mum don't have to worry about me, she's got more money for herself and my other siblings.
Yeah, I see. Where
you're my other siblings.
Yeah, I get that, man. You want to take care of yourself, so you don't have to put that pressure on your mum.
Yeah.
Did you not have a dad in around this time? Or?
He was around, but not like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, he had another family down the road. We used to see him occasionally, special occasions. But we'd go see him on the weekend. But growing up, that was the foundation. So it's me, my mum, brothers and sisters, and my grand.
So when you first started selling weed, did you already know how to bag up and that, or was this like part of, like, you ask for it and then they teach you and then you go off and do your thing then?
Yeah, no, it's all a learning curve, you know. So it's like you might start giving too much, you might give not enough. Do you know what I mean? It's all a learning curve. And again, a 12-year-old kid trying to sell someone weed, people aren't taking you serious. Do you know what I mean? So it was all like a learning curve over and over again. And as time goes on, that's when I kind of learned what to do, if you know what I mean. But me personally, I didn't like selling drugs. I didn't like it, to be honest.
What was it you didn't like about it?
When we went on to like Class A drugs, and I'm seeing how the drug users are behaving. And
there's a different change from someone that smokes weed to someone that's doing Class A.
So anyone, like, more or less, everybody smokes weed. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, but then the Class A's, I'm having people trying to give me the mum's car keys. Like, take the car keys and I promise I'll bring you the money, take the car keys. So I'm thinking, that's your mum's car, bro.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Other guy, he hasn't got the money. He's offering to put his wife in the car with us, let her suck us all off and things like that. And I'm thinking,
like that, yeah?
Yeah, I'm thinking, this is crazy. But again, this is at like the age of like 15, 16, that we're seeing these things. You know what I mean? Like, I was exposed to it.
So at 12 years old selling weed, what was it like for you on the street then? I mean, did you get robbed? Was it like men trying to just take you without getting paid? Like, how did you deal with that stuff?
No, we kind of would have got robbed, but it wasn't like, give me what you got, do you know what I mean? It's more like being snaky about it, like, oh, let me get this till next week, and then next week comes and you don't see them again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so not only are you putting yourself at your liberty at risk through selling weed, now you've got to use violence to get that money back.
Yeah.
It's like a never ending circle when it comes to drugs, isn't it?
It's a vicious cycle.
So, what made you go from weed to Class A? Was it just a more money thing?
Yeah, it's because, like, a lot of people around me were smoking weed, so weren't really making much money from it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's smoking it. So it's like, oh, you might be in a house with your mates and everyone just smokes it up, you know what I mean? Class A's, we're not going to smoke that.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of people that do fall to the demon, though, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
100%,
yeah. You know, I've seen a lot of people that have got serious business, serious lifestyle, like really like up there work-wise, and then they're out. I think it was a little while ago, good 10 years ago, someone was mixing it, the coke with, I think it was heroin.
Yeah, and then
it got him hooked and he lost everything, man.
Yeah.
Everything.
There's two types of drug users, isn't there? Like, everyone thinks them ones that you see on the streets and that. But you have a lot of, like, working class people that smoke crack.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? So, 100%. Like, that's one thing. We used to go to this guy's house. He had a nice house. He'll sneak out. His missus will be out the window. He'll say, drive down the road. Then they go and buy crack of us.
How did that make your mindset go? Like, because you're selling the drugs to come up gains in life, like money wise, to a position where you're going to people with money, and they're low.
Yeah.
How'd that make your mind?
It's crazy. Like, a lot of things what I seen on the streets, I just thought to myself, you know what? This ain't for me. This whole drug dealing thing, it's not for me. I've got too much of a kind heart. You know what I mean? Like, I start feeling sorry for people and that, you know? So, and these drug users will use that to their advantage. So I just thought, you know what, this ain't for me, this. It's not, like, the turning point was when that guy tried to give me his mum's car. I'm thinking, mate, it's over. You know what I mean? I can't do this anymore.
How long was you selling for?
Probably only about a few months. Them, like, the rest of my mates carried on. I didn't carry on, I just left them to it.
So where did you go from this end, from selling drugs? Like, how did the whole you being a Crip member and...
It's like being kids, the way it was for us, like just being them kids and getting involved in all types of crazy stuff. So it's like one day we might be selling weed, the other day we're selling crack and heroin, another day we might be doing armed robberies. Do you know what I mean? We're driving cars, we're doing all sorts. We had our fingers in all different types of pies, you know? And then what it was, where the whole Crip thing came from, was we had to put a name to who we was, do you know what I mean? Because in Manchester, you've got Gooch and Dodo.
Yeah.
So our older peers, the older generation to us was Gooch. So people start saying, use a lot of Gooch. We say, we're not Gooch. We're our own. And then we came up with the name, and that's when we... the whole OT Crip thing.
Those two gangs that you mentioned have got such notoriety, they're heard all over the world.
Yeah.
Is that the status that you wanted to get to?
Nah, you know, not really. It's just like, for me, it was just, and this is what I tell people all the time, the way everything just escalates. It just escalates overnight. So it's like, one day, you're just chilling, driving. Yeah, I used to drive around for a lot of the elders, going and doing robberies or burglaries, whatever it was. And then one day, I get a phone call. You need it tonight. For what? I need you to drive somewhere. All right, sweet. Go to the house in there. And I started overhearing what the mission was. Do you know what I mean? But I can't turn around and say, oh, I'm not doing that. Do you know what I mean? So I've had to go. Gone on the mission. It didn't go as planned. Police was there waiting for us. And then we got off. But then that night when I went home, I thought to myself, yeah, that's it now. I'm in. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no turning back now. I'm actually in.
Yeah. You know? Can you talk about the mission?
Yeah, it's just, I think I've done a video on it anyway. It's like, so what's happened, there was a funeral. It was either a funeral or a party, something along them lines. But we've all been told that they was all at a location in my side. So then the plan was to go there, shoot it up and just cause havoc, basically. So then we've got there, so I've pulled up. We're looking at the front door, but none of them are there. So then someone said to me, look to your right. So when I've looked to my right, I've seen like four white guys in a car. now in my side.
Yeah, that's you know, yeah, exactly yeah, you know what that is yeah. when you see him. Yeah.
Then the lights flashed on his radio. So I've gone, oh, it's 5-0. But they've already spotted us. When I've looked at him, they're all looking at us already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've not got no mask on or nothing. So they've looked, they've spotted us. So then we've got off, took a chase. But as we started taking chase, all the armed response started coming. You know, so luckily we seen them before it was too late. We would have been caught, boxed in.
Yeah. So did you get caught with the tools and everything on you?
Yeah, we got away.
Bloody young man.
Yeah. Loads of lucky near misses, like.
So you'd been called up to go. Was you just a driver, or would you have had to got involved and start shooting up as well?
More or less, was more just a driver.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point, how old was I? Would have been about 16. I think it was in 2005. So I'd have been 16.
Bloody hell, man. So if the police weren't there. They would have just lit the whole place up.
Yeah, we would have just got lit up.
How would that have made it sit in your head that you was the one that took them there?
It's mad because the way my mindset was then, it's more you're doing it for the cause. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's more like you're doing it for the cause. This is what we do. Like, there was no better feeling like when something would happen and then people would be like, oh, who done that? And then people are like, oh, yeah, it was them. It was the youngest. It was... Do you know what I mean? It was them lot. It kind of boosts your ego.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you start feeling, it gives you like a Superman feeling, you know?
Yeah, I've been there myself. I get that feeling, you know? And that is a rush. Yeah. And it is scary because even though in your heart, your heart is telling you like, well, I'm not really made for this.
Yeah.
But your soul is like fully involved.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get out of way, like. So at 16, you're already in the depths, like you're not only selling Class A drugs, but you're driving out to, which would have been a mass shooting.
Mm.
Would you say that was like, I don't even know how to describe that, like in a criminal career, would that have been a high point for you or in yourself a low point?
I don't know, you know, it's just, you know what it is? It's like we normalize these things. Do you know what I mean? So, like, all these type of things now, when I think about it now, to me, that was just the norm.
Because
I didn't know all the 16-year-olds I know are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else. Do
you know so, for you, like, well, a lot of people that I've done podcasting with before that has been grown up within it, there's always been a backstory of either child abuse or they've been groomed by elders. It's always the elders, mm-hmm. you know, they've been groomed into it. But for you, it sounds like it was just a way of life.
Yeah, in the streets we grow up in, that's what it is, isn't it?
You know
what
I mean?
You've got these two gangs, you're either on this side of the road or you're on that side of the road. And that's it, simple as, you know what I mean? You don't really see anyone grow up and decide to go a different way.
So what if you have family on the other side?
I've got family on the other side.
And you're not allowed to talk to them, they're not allowed to speak to you, if you're seen?
I've not got family that's like my age, they're all older than me,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think I've seen people with family same age, and it's just they might not get involved with each other. But then it might. So let's say, for example, I'm fighting with my friend's cousin. He's not going to get involved and help me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just for me and him to have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just it's madness if you think about it.
Have you had any near deaths yourself? Like, has anyone come for you?
Yeah. When they set me up in the park. And they shot me 3 times. And then, got into a scrap with them. Then they all just ran off and just left me. So I had to go and ring the ambulance and
that. I've seen a lot of your stuff.
Yeah.
So I know a lot about the things you're talking about. But for people that have just, this is the first time they've heard of you.
Yeah.
And seen. Mate, you've had some journey to get you to where you are today, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, how comes they set you up in the park?
It was just mad, you know. It's like, you see, when I think about it now, yeah, it's all just childish stuff. Like, in reality, if I just turn around and say, you know what, I'll be honest and say half of the things people accuse me of, I didn't do it.
Yeah. And it's the same with Echo of, I think it is, it's like, your notoriety on the street, half of the stuff you ain't done. It's just what people are saying.
Yeah.
So like you'll be banned from one area because you've done something to someone, but you're like, I didn't do nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, it just comes across.
And that's what happened with that anyway. It's like petty squabbles escalated out of control, got into a few shootouts over the time, and then that one there, when I got set up and I got gone to the location.
Did you get set up by your own people, or was this?
No, this was it kind of, what it was. My mum lives in their territory. Well, she used to. Yeah.
Right.
So when I used to go and see my mum, I would like ride around there. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
This one day we've gone in the shop. So I've gone in the shop. My mate was outside waiting for me, and he's seen this girl. You see, they're there chatting, whatever. Somewhere, somehow, numbers got exchanged. There we go, past.
Yeah.
Somewhere, somehow, numbers got exchanged. But then she's expecting me, you know? So he's give his number, saying that it's mine, yeah?
Yeah.
So then, now when she's ringing him, saying, come and meet me, he has to bring me. So then he starts ringing me, saying, oh, Are you coming? But I couldn't be asked. I'm saying, no, I can't be asked, man. I'm chilling. Then he's like, no, come on. So in the end, I ended up caving in, gone there. When we got there, there was like 8 to 10 of them waiting for us. Everyone I was with ran off. And it was just me and them.
So your boy's just done?
Yeah, they all got off. Because I thought, when I first seen them, I thought it was like the younger lot to us.
Yeah.
I thought it was my little mates. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was stood there with them laughing, like bantering. Do you know what I mean? Then when I realised that this ain't them, then I ran. You know, but they chased me. And
so your people just left you?
Yeah.
Did you ever have it out with them?
Yeah. Yeah and no, because what it was, because even after I got shot and I was outside waiting and I was ringing the ambulance, I was also ringing my mate, saying, come and get me. But it's like it wasn't catching on to what I was saying. I'm saying, drive up the road. I can see his headlights down the road. I'm saying, drive up the road. But he wouldn't drive up the road. But then, gone to the hospital. So I'm in the hospital. Then as soon as I got out, like a week or two of being out of the hospital, we was back out there looking for revenge.
So after you took Chase, after you realised it weren't them and you realised that you had been set up and you started to go, what point was it that you got shot?
More or less straight away. As soon as I started running, I've got the one in my back here and it came out of my stomach. But then I ran into a dead end. So as I ran into a dead end, they've run in with me, so I've had to run back at them.
So they knew the area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it. We all know it. It's our area, do you know what I mean? But what it was, with the adrenaline and everything else going, then when I've run at them, that's when they've shot me in my leg here, but then that's hit a nerve. So I've gone flat-footed straight away. So now I'm kind of limping. And that's when they've got this one here.
You probably get asked all the time, but how did that feel?
It just felt like when you fall over and graze your knee and it burns.
Yeah.
It's fine, man.
What, all of your shots hurt like that?
No, it's only this one, really. That I could feel, really.
You're lucky, man.
I know. Especially this one. This one went in and out, missed all my vitals.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine what was going through your head at this point. Survival.
It's mad, you know, because all I was thinking is that I can't wait to tell my mates tomorrow.
Yeah. Man, that's sad, I'm out of here.
It's mad. It's like a badge of honour for me, isn't it?
Of course.
No, sorry. I think back to myself. I make myself laugh. Like, I think, what the hell was wrong with you?
How old were you at this point?
17.
17 when you got shot 3 times.
Yeah.
That's absolutely mad. Do they know what gun it was that shot you?
Britta.
Yeah. Rhea. Mm. Mad.
It was crazy.
So after they'd shot, they were still taking Chase, or did they, after the shot, they disappear and then your trying to get to your friend. Did he know you'd been shot?
Oh, we started fighting. Me and the shooter.
Did you?
Yeah, we started fighting.
So you got 3 bullets in you. Half of your front is like disappeared, and you're on.
Yeah.
You're on form, man.
Because he had the gun to my head. You know, so he's got the gun to my head. And, you know, it's the whole, you know, you're dying there or whatever. So I'm not going out like that, do you know what I
mean? Yeah.
So started fighting. Got the gun off him, started fighting. And that's when he all jumped me. He all jumped me to get the gun back.
Did you manage to be able to shoot back, or was it just like...
It was jammed. But luckily enough.
So, mate, I can't even, like, a gun to your head after you've just been shot 3 times. You know that these kids are going to use this weapon. You got a gun to your head. Did everything just freeze at that point before you then, like, snapped out of it and started scrapping? Was it like, fuck, this is it?
No, we was talking. I'm on my knees at this point. So I'm on my knees, and they stood over me like that. You know, with it to my head. Then, don't know what it was. Ego, bravado, adrenaline. He's saying, I'm going to do it. So I'm saying, do it. You know? So we're having that back and forth. He's saying, I'm going to do it. So I'm saying, do it. Go on and do it. Then he's done it. But it jammed. So as it's clicked, when I've heard the click, that's when I've grabbed it and tried to unjam it. But then I'm still on my knees now.
And of course, you got shot in the leg, so you ain't going to be getting up quick, are you?
Yes. That's when they all just smashed me in.
Did they ever catch the?
Yeah.
They caught a person.
One of the people I was with had ran out of the park, ran into the police, and told them what happened. He's gone now. And then funnily enough, he was the same one that gave the evidence on me to send me away.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that a tit for tat thing, was it?
I don't know what it was, but I ask myself that every day. Like, why would you do that? Do you know what I mean? Everyone says to me, it's like, I was like a dad to this individual, you know, like anything I got, I would give him. I'd give him phones, I'd give him weed to sell, give him, I would never just give him money, you know.
Is that the first time that made you realise that the streets ain't really loyal?
Yeah, 100%. To this day, I have trust issues because of that.
See what I'm saying, yeah? So, like, this is what I mean. A lot of these youths that are running around thinking that their family and their close, their besties and that lot, and they ain't going to do nothing.
Mm.
And when they go to jail, they're gone. They're like, who is that person? Do you know what I mean? Like, they ain't coming. They ain't doing nothing.
They'll just be replaced, won't they?
Exactly.
Be replaced straight away.
When I lost my brother and the guy that was selling the drugs here, he was on the run. And he was thing. He thought that he was like the man, and that they needed him.
Yeah.
But he was off the street that day because I was after him. So he was off the street that day. He was replaced the next day. The next day that the person come down from London, yeah, to sell drugs, he was nicked that day, yeah. And then the next day there was somebody else.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was like that.
Yeah, that's how it goes. It's like people are replaceable. The minute you fall, someone's there ready to take your place.
So you're in hospital now. The ambulance come get you, or did your boy take you?
Ambulance.
So your ambulance has took you. Did you die? Are you fighting for your life? Is it?
I kept falling. I kept going while I was on the street. But then the old man that was helping me kept saying to me, don't go to sleep, don't go to sleep.
Yeah.
So I was fighting it until I got into the ambulance. When I got into the ambulance, that's when I went to sleep.
Do you feel like it's the lights in the ambulance that makes you just feel like, right, this is it?
I think so. But it's like, and I think, because before the ambulance came, it was the police. I don't trust the police.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not falling and saying, I want to see what you're doing. But then when the ambulance comes, it's almost like, I trusted them.
Yeah, it's like your mum's coming to see you. You know what I mean? Like, you've got that sort of, like, yeah, they're here to help. They're not here to give me no grief, nothing. Mm. Yeah, I'll get that.
So then that's when I fell asleep, woke up in a trauma unit.
Have you still got did they keep the bullets? Have you still got them?
All of them. These two was in and out. They took that one out. I didn't get to keep them.
Man, that's a shame.
It's evidence, isn't it?
Yeah. So when you come out of the trauma unit and they start talking to you, are you like, just, is it like, you know, when through the talk and you can't really hear it properly, it's like they're muffled. Was you taking it all in, or was you just like, I need to get out of here because I need to fucking get them back?
It was just like, I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. But I had my leg in like a cast, tubes in me and all that. You know what I mean? Then I got transferred from one hospital to another for the operation because it was nerve damage. I had to get some special operation or something.
You're lucky that one weren't nerve damage, man. You could have been in a wheelchair now.
I know, 100%. And this one as well. This one was right there, inches away from my spine.
Really? Man, you must have woke up, like, just second-guessing everything that you've been doing right up to that point. Like, was all of it worth it?
Nah, at that point, all I was thinking about was retaliation. You know what I mean? I was thinking, all I was thinking is retaliation. As soon as I get out, we're going and we're looking for it.
I know that feeling.
Mm-hmm. That's all that was on my mind. But then as time went on, I started having them redemption moments. So I started to think to myself, when I'm thinking, where is everybody? Do you know what I mean? I'm expecting it to be like 20, 30 people ready to just go. You know, but by the time I come out of hospital, it's like a ghost town. That's when I started thinking to myself, like, what's really going on?
So all of your people weren't there ready to go back for these?
Some of them was. The real ones was, yeah. I would say. But a lot of, like, say, the tag-alongs and the glory supporters, they all, it's serious now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, say, oh, they came and shot us. Now we need to go and retaliate. They've shot me. You know, like, they've actually tried to kill me. So now it's serious. We have to do something. And I think a lot of people thought, you know what? I don't want to be a part of that and just disappeared.
No, but they would have expected that if it was one of them, though, wouldn't they?
100%.
And you would have, I reckon you would have roided it as well, wouldn't you?
100%.
That's mad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's too many real out there anymore, man. That's going to give you, I think the streets now has become so fake with the illusion that everyone is hardened criminals now.
Yeah. It's all diluted, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that each person, if they had a tool on them, they wouldn't use it. I'm pretty sure that they would. But as opposed to that unity of, like, street mentality, real, like the elders used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
I think all that's gone now, man.
Yeah, it's gone. There's no unity in it. There's no loyalty. There's none of that, I don't feel.
But the only way you're going to find that out is either if you go to jail for a long time, you kill someone, or you killed yourself, and that's the only way you find out the truth about the streets.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So, the retaliation, did you retaliate, or was it at this point, by the time?
At this point, they had already been, the people that done it had already been arrested. But we was, they've got friends, haven't we? So we were still out there doing what we was doing. And a few months later, anyway, I was in jail myself.
In the same jail?
No, actually, I did go to the same jail that he was in. I was there for about a week. Then they got on to it and shook me up.
Yeah. Was you on the same wing, was you? No. Or was it?
No.
So what did you end up going to jail for?
Shooting. So conspiracy to murder, attempted murder. Really, it's just attempted murder. In a conspiracy of it.
What did you get for that?
12-year IPP.
Really? So you're still on license now?
Yeah.
You know, and it, what people don't understand about that on license now is you could literally be driving your car, someone bib at you, you lose your temper, that's it, bang in jail.
100%.
You could be having an argument with your mum and the neighbour called the police. Yeah. That's
as soon as you get arrested, they're going to start looking to recall you.
And the life license is they can recall you for the rest of your life.
You got that emergency recall procedures, haven't you? So you go straight to prison from the police station. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely insane that. How's that still? You're still in Manny, yeah?
Yeah.
So how's that in your area? People known you from the streets and the stuff that you've done. To still be in the same area on license, some would say you're a bit crazy.
Yeah, I don't really see anybody. I don't really see anyone. Do you know what I mean? I've been to a, like, say, a handful of events, you know, where people from my past life have been. But other than that, I don't really socialize in them circles.
Do they recognize what you're doing now and then just respect you for it? Or is it just like you left us?
It's a bit of both, innit? I think the hate comes from jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
There's a lot of it.
Yeah, it's like certain people might put in a Snapchat story. Oh, why is he talking about this and that and rare. He's going on like he's bad, he's not bad and all that rubbish. But I think that comes from jealousy.
Yeah, bro, I'll tell you, it's so easy to be bad. It's so hard being good.
Mm.
Because the people that are bad and they want to be good and they can't be, they're the ones that are your biggest problem.
Yeah.
They're your biggest problem because they want what you've got and they can't get it.
Mm.
And no matter what money you've got, it doesn't matter what your reputation is, if you can't be good, you can't have what I've got.
Yeah,
you understand? So that is, to be able to do what you've done, go from conspiracy to murders and class A drugs and mass shootings at such a young age, being shot, being on the opposite end, to changing your life the way that you have, you definitely have to want that.
Yeah.
And I feel like from when you're saying like all of the stuff that you was doing, your heart's not really in it to do it. I can see your whole life that you have wanted to be who you are today.
Mm-hmm. It's just money, you know what I mean? It's just that financial gain. Like nowadays, it's cool, isn't it? Like the kids can get paid from social media or whatever else, but back in like our day, you had to wait till you was like 16 to be able to get a job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're on the street from like 11 years old. That's a long time, like 5 years, that's a long time. You know, and you're watching other people, year or two older than yourself, making good money.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that as well, though, man, social media bring a lot of fucking carnage to the streets.
Yeah, it does.
You know, because that is the fastest way to get your point, your message out there in a negative way is social media.
Yeah,
and that's causing a lot of criminal activity amongst kids as young as 6, 7, 8 are getting shot. They're being stabbed. They're being ran over because, you know, people are running people over because you're only getting dangerous driving, which is, what's that, 8 years? Maximum 8 years. So you'll do 4 and be out. Do you know what I mean? It's mental.
Yeah. That's what happened with some kid near us the other day. Copying all that. Chicago drill. Saying this person got put in a spliff, that person got put in a spliff. Talking about people's dead homies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people are going to feel some type of way. And again, it's like you're going to have him just saying that on YouTube for everybody to see. And then yous aren't doing anything. So then you've caught him. Chops what with a machete. Young person's lost his life and now they're going to prison for life.
Mm.
You know, over. And the kid, you're not even nothing to do with nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But the thing is, what is the UK going to do though, man? Because, say, like in America, like, you know, you've got the Crips out in America, which you know this anyway, but like, they've got prisons big enough to be able to store everybody.
Yeah.
So what's the UK going to do when the facility's full? Because that's what's going to happen. They're going to start letting people out early so they can make space for the new criminals. They can't do that because they're being sentenced and they're doing all of the above. So where does it come where the government's going to step in and give more opportunities to the kids, more outlet stuff to be able to have them do positive things that's going to work for their future rather than just let them fuck up, then sort them out when they're in prison. Do you know what I mean? Or let them find God, themselves, you know, all of the above. Like, you know, it's crazy.
I think that's what needs to happen. You know, it's like there's no youth clubs, there's no anything.
Man, I remember youth clubs.
Yeah.
I'm not even a religious person. I weren't a religious person when I was a kid, but there was the youth club in the church, the local church when I was a kid, 20 feet ago.
Yeah.
And you'd be there, they had pool table, ping pong table, they had like tuck, had it all. Yeah. And that was only once a week. But if we was naughty, our parents wouldn't let us go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So we was covert naughty, So it was just like little naughty, like knock and run and stuff But then when they took that youth club away because they couldn't afford to staff it, man, that's when all the big stuff started happening. Yeah. And I agree with you, there's not enough youth centres and there's no backing from people that can make it happen as well.
There's not. Even things like this, like what we're doing now, do you know what I mean?
I think it has come to this now.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a good friend of mine. He was He's known as one of the UK's toughest prisoners, the craziest prisoner. I was talking to him literally this morning, and we were saying that it's left, the world is left down to the people that caused it to save it. You understand?
Yeah.
Like we'd go, if we go back over the things we've done, it would, these kids that are doing it today ain't got a fucking clue.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But now, people like the elders, the older people that are seeing, they see me on the news and stuff, they're like, oh my God, he looks scary, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm the one that's trying to make a difference while they're at home pointing their fingers going, oh, he's a bad one.
Yeah, it's mad, it's crazy, but I do, I understand, I believe that as well. I'm the same motto, like, we paid a contribution to the destruction and madness what's going on in the streets, so it is kind of our place to try and fix it, do you know what I mean? That that was my mentality when I first came out. When I done my first video, that was my mentality, you know, because there was a lot of people waiting for me to get out. I heard the whispers, I knew it was going on. You know, everyone's like, well, can't wait to see what happens when he gets out. And, do you know what I mean? Thinking I'm just going to raise hell on the streets.
Can I put that video in this link as well so they understand what they're... Yeah, I'll link that video, what he's talking about, at the end of the podcast. So stay to the end and you'll get to see the video so you know what he's talking about.
And then that was it. And that's it, just started from there. And just carried on.
So when you went to jail, at what point in jail was it that you thought to yourself, did you go straight after you come out of jail this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what point in jail was it you're like serving this big sentence? There's like all the people that you thought were there, did they leave you?
Yeah and no, because a lot of them was in jail with me.
But if they weren't in jail, do you think they would have made the effort?
Yeah.
So you're in jail alone, you're really feeling alone as well, because even though they're inside with you, you kind of, you know your people, you'll all stick together because it's prison, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
But knowing that the people that you're with would never come for
100%,
you.
Yeah. But the turning point for me is when my grand passed. So my grand's passed. And the day before, my mum said to me, the doctor says she's not got much long left, whatever. Yeah. So I said, put her on. So now I'm on the phone to my grand. My heart's telling me, tell her you love her. But my head, with the ego, bravado and all that, wouldn't allow me to do it. So I wouldn't let her go off the phone. I just kept talking rubbish. And then, do you know what I mean? And it got to the point she ended up going. Then the next day, I got the call she's passed away. Do you know what I mean? So that's when I started sitting there thinking to myself, you want to pretend to be this gangster, yeah? When you couldn't even tell your grand, you love her, now she's passed. Do you know what I mean? That there sits with me forever. And as soon as I think, everyone's like, oh, yeah, she would have known, though, but that doesn't make me feel any better.
Yeah.
It's just that the mentality I had, I thought I was so gangster, I can't tell her that, you know, and then she's passed away, and that's something I'll never get to do now.
Yeah, I said something very similar to my brother a week before he passed, and, I can't get over it. I can't get over it, and it's like, something stupid like, I had an argument with him and I said, you're dead to me, I don't want nothing to do with you. I didn't mean it. I know I didn't mean it. But then he died a week later.
Yeah.
Bro, I can't take that back.
Yeah, 100%. I know exactly what you're saying.
And that fills me every day, man. Every day. So you saying that you told your gran that you couldn't tell her you love her because you was trying to be a tough man in jail and stuff, as I get why that resonates with you. And I'm glad, you know, I'm glad it does, because it made you change to what you are today. Tell us some more about that.
Yeah, so it's just like from that point on, I just thought, you know what? I ain't acting, I ain't doing none of that no more. You know what I mean? I've proved it, I've done it, I've tried and tested. Went to prison for 12 years, didn't say a word, you know, went through everything on the streets. I've been tried and tested. You know what I mean? I've got nothing to prove to any of these guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas before, when I was younger, I used to look up to certain individuals, you know, but now it's like, I hear them talking, saying whatever they say, but the mission I'm on now, like, none of them can knock me off my stride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What mission's that?
Just to raise awareness and help the next generation.
Like that.
Just put two sides of the story up, you know? I say to these kids all the time, I'm never going to tell you not to go to prison. I'm never going to tell you not to join a gang. What I am going to do is give you the realities and the consequences of this. If you then decide to do it,
yeah, you can't
phone your mum, you can't phone your dad and start crying saying, no one told me it's going to be like this. Because that's exactly what I'm here to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I stumbled across you on social medias and a lot before, on videos that you've done, I'd seen your change around, and I thought to myself, I want him on my show, because I believe the way that you're doing it is the right way. You know, like you said, I can't tell you not to do it. You've got to make that decision.
Mm.
You telling them, like you are today, they can only either wake up or go to jail or go to the funeral home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's all that the streets are offering now.
Yeah, 100%.
Life in prison or dead.
Mm. It's so easy to get life in prison. It's so easy to just lose your life. It's so easy. You know, it could happen in the space of like 20, 15 seconds.
The thing is, nowadays as well, it's not like us. Like, when we were coming up, it was the elders. Like, if we stepped out, the elders come and deal with it. You kind of know what you're dealing with.
Mm.
Now, it's the young'uns. Like, you see a kid riding a bike in the middle of the road and you say, get the fuck out of the road, you're getting stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
These kids ain't messing around.
Yeah, man, no.
So you don't even fear the elders anymore. You fear the youth. And it's not because they're hard. It's not because they're crazy or nothing. It's because they will pull a weapon out and give it to you.
Yeah.
And not think nothing
of it. Are you going to match that energy? Because you know what's going to happen. Like, I say this all the time. Like, these kids that are on the streets now, I don't want to cross paths with them because I know what I'm about. I know what I'm capable of. So if they then say the wrong thing, it's going to have to go down that road.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go down that road. Mm-hmm. So I just leave you to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Changing your karma.
Yeah.
Making the universe be better for you. You know, and that's always the case these days is like, you know, like you just said, you know damn well what you're capable of.
Mm.
You've taken bullets. You've given bullets.
Mm.
You've been, like, you've allowed yourself to go on to a mass shootings and selling drugs to somebody else's daughter, somebody else's son, you know. You've already been to the devil's lair. To come out of it, you know that it's easy to go back there.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so when these people are testing you, and I'm sure you get tested a lot, it's so hard not to just snap and go for it. But when you walk away, fuck me, did you know back then that the reward was greater?
No,
mate, like, when I started being like, cool, see you later, no problem. You know what I mean? Like, you got a problem with me. Well, like, what's up, man? Talk to me about it instead of just getting into it.
Yeah.
That reward and that respect is way more because, you know, you find yourself, people saying hello to you, people like that. That's out of fear, man. You're gaining respect from fear. And I think that's what a lot of these kids think. They want to be liked, they want to be told, they want to be known all over. But if they died, people will say, good riddance.
Yeah, 100%.
How the fuck is that respect? Why are you leading yourself to a point of prison or death, for people to just be happy for you to just be dead?
Just be gone,
You know? Well, I got to a point, man, where I think to myself, who's going to be at my funeral?
Mm.
Who's going to be there? You know what I mean? Because the way I was going, people were going to be like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well done, good, he deserves to go.
Yeah.
I had to make a change, man.
Yeah, 100%.
And you, like all the other people I've had on the podcast, the change that we're making will make a difference.
Yeah.
It might not be now, but I hope that we're going to be wherever we are after this, looking down, looking up, whatever, and see the change that we've made.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? So where do you go to do all this stuff?
I go everywhere. I'm with this charity, St. Giles Trust. They hire mentors and facilitators with lived experience. So we just used our lived experience to reach these young people. We use our lived experience to speak to professionals like social workers and everything else. I had this social worker in Bath Spa. She rang me one time on a Sunday afternoon, thinking, what are you ringing me on a Sunday for? She's like, I just watched your Sean Atwood podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think different about a lot of these young people that I'm working with. So my work here is done. Do you know what I mean? It shows that it's working.
Mate, you're getting viewed.
Yeah.
You're getting viewed and your message is getting seen. And the thing that I like about all of our individual stories, we might have all lived different styles of life, but our mission, all of us, our missions are all the same.
Yeah.
Yours, mine, Anthony Roberts, Tony Giles, Marvin Herbert, all our missions are all all criminals, all ex-cons that have served time either in a mental institution, prison, are all making a difference now. And you're a part of that. I've got nothing but respect for you for that.
Yeah. That's mad as well, though, because without all this, we would never have crossed paths.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So that's another thing that we have to give thanks for. Everyone's on the same mission, so we happen to cross paths. And it makes the message even stronger.
Yeah, and I hope to do more things with you in the future. Like, you know, we're at any events going on, come down, be a speaker, like, or anything like that. It'd be absolutely amazing. I can see that you ain't never going to give up on this mission. And that makes me happy for all the generations. Because, you know, if you're, and this is what I don't get, with social media, the good thing is about social media is you're making a difference in Manchester and around your areas and stuff. I'm doing it here. Marvin's doing it in his place. Sean Apple's doing it in his place. You know, and because of that, yeah, we're changing it.
Yeah.
We're changing it. So the message that those kids that are changing, they could have been out there putting it on social media for someone down in Cornwall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like where it's starting to get bad. Someone in Wales is starting to see it. But because you made a change in Manchester, it does affect people here too.
Yeah.
Because the social media, don't matter where you are in the world, you're at my fingertips.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm witnessing all that lot.
Definitely.
So where's it for you now? Like, where are you now? What's the next step for you?
Someone asked me that the other day, you know, and I don't even know. I just keep going. Do you know what I mean? Whatever comes, like, keep doing, like, keep linking up with people like yourself, keep pushing the message and just building a team and just getting more active and more presence and all these type of things, just keep pushing, keep going. Like you said, just not giving up.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I like that. The other thing is as well, you're like, you took on the name The Crips. Did anyone ever reach out to you?
No.
From America?
Yeah, I don't think they take it. Like, since I've started saying it now, a lot of people don't take it serious, but it's in the past life anyway, so I'm just living to it.
Yeah.
People always gonna have an opinion of it.
Is the crew still running? You're just not part of it?
Not Old Trafford, but you've got the Rush Home Crips now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a whole different gang from a different area, but it's still that whole Crips thing. They're still wearing the blue bandana. They're still claiming to be Crips.
How does that make you feel?
This is why I do what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? Because you might still see me with a blue bandana, but I'm not an active gang member.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just something like even True Blue, and it comes from the blue bandana.
So True Blue, where's this come from? Your bandana, what are you doing with this?
This is my brand, so True Blue. Like, I'm a True Blue, yeah. You know what I mean? And what it was, where the idea came from, it's like, some people see that and think, oh, he's not changed. But it's like, I started something on a path of destruction. Yeah, so you see if we can turn that round.
Yeah, the movement.
Turn it into something positive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that.
That's the aim. A lot of people won't understand it.
No, they will definitely not understand that, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it because I can see what you're doing. You created a beast and now you want to turn that and flip that around.
Tame the beast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it was your baby.
Yeah, exactly it. Exactly it. That's exactly it.
And you've got to change that narrative and I see why you're doing it. Mm. Yeah. So well, people can buy this stuff, can they?
Yeah, I've got, when I get more printed up, and I just got a few printed a few months back and just,
yeah,
you know, knocked them out a bit and whatever else, just kept a few for myself, like with videos and whatever else.
Yeah, good man.
Well, I made a decision when I was in prison. I said to myself, I'm not going to get out and wear all that flashy stuff until I've made it. I'm going to make my own little brand, just wear that.
Yeah, I like that. It's good. I like that you've done that, because I think it's so easy to get lost in a bravado of, like, when you're wearing something expensive and nice.
Yeah,
because you start wearing it and then you do start massaging your ego and you start feeling like you slip. So that's clever what you've done. Took away all that necessity that made you drive to where you was before when you was causing all that problem. To now having, like, right, I know what's causing me this problem. I'm taking it all away.
Mm.
Good for you, man. Good for you. So if anyone wanted to contact you for help, or they want to talk to you about you know, how do they get out of the lifestyle and that? Like, how would they do that?
Instagram, YouTube. So KDPT19 on Instagram and on Snapchat and TikTok. True Blue ENT on YouTube and on Instagram as well. Like, more over social
media. I'll get all the links and that lot put in here. Yeah, no problem.
And that's another thing I would say, like, don't, like, feel any way about contacting me. Like, don't hesitate to contact me, because this is kind of what I'm here for. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have people contacting me all the time asking me for help, whoever it's, can I get them a job, just advice, or, you know, I don't feel any way.
How do you go about when they're contacting you? What is it you say to them when they say, look, I've had enough of this lifestyle, I've done this, I need to get out? What would be your step process?
I just talk to them and just say, like, don't rush nothing. You know, like, I can't sit here and tell you to change. You have to want to change. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know that, like you said, me talking to you, like, if I was full of shit, you would know I was full of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So sometimes I think people just contact me maybe because a new podcast has come out, or, do you know what I mean? But I feel some people are actually genuine. Mm-hmm. And at first, I will be a bit hesitant. And you see, if that person keeps contacting me,
yeah,
I know that you're serious about what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's just, I like to give you the vision. You have to do it. I'm not going to do it for you.
100%. So anyone that wants to come off drugs or, you know, drink or anything like that, you can't just go to rehab and then come out and be cured. You have to want it. The want is 100%. I never understood that until after I lost my brother. Like you said, there's several types of drugs. My brother was a Class A user, but he was a functioning addict. He still held down a job, a family, and things like that. Like what you were saying earlier on. But the flip side, have you ever bumped into any of these people that were the higher class that you used to sell to, and they'd just be like, look at you, like, fuck, he's still that same person, or what?
No, not really. I've not even been out 2 years yet. I've only just recently started going back to my old area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even been out 2 years, and look at the difference you're making already.
Everyone says that. I can never see it, though.
That's good, because as long as you don't see it, yeah, like, you know, you'll always hear it, because from what you've come from to what you are now, yeah, you're always going to get people say, well done, well done.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. But I think if you can see and feel what you're doing has made a change now, you'll slow down your progress.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really good that you don't understand that you've got to that point yet. Mm. Because I think the hunger needs to stay there for you to carry on with your success. Yeah. You know, and as long as you're feeling that hunger, you're gonna keep saving lives.
Definitely.
And change the narrative. And that's what's important. Yeah, good man, good. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything else you'd like to say?
Just be yourself, you know. Don't worry about what everyone else has got to say. Don't worry about what people might think or say or whatever. Just be yourself, do for yourself. Because when you're sat in prison on your own, it's only you one, you know. So don't really watch what anyone else has got to say or what anyone else is really doing. That's all I ever say to them.
Have you noticed a difference between how kids are being groomed now to how it was when you come up? Because you're in the moment. That's the estates that you grew up on. That's there on a daily.
Yeah.
Where now, like, kids are coming from posh areas, you know, and they're being enticed into this lifestyle to be what you once was.
Yeah, because they got social media and that, haven't they? So it's like, for me growing up, like I said, my thing was financial gain. Everybody that was in the areas that we grew up in, their aim was to make enough money so you could move out the area.
That's the elders, man. I'm telling you, you fought like an elder. You see kids, yeah, they're making money, but they're buying like £1,000 jeans. Buying like drinks for everybody. Like, so it has to be for the reputation.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's a clout, isn't it?
Like, when you go to jail, how the fuck has that reputation helped you in any way whatsoever? Because the kids ain't doing it for financial gains today, because you can see it on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're wearing, like, you know, £1,000 trainers, like £6,000 coats and that lot. And that's like one outfit for the day.
Yeah.
There's no financial gains anymore. And I think that's the hard thing for us, and our challenge is to be able to make a difference, because they value they value life very cheaply, but they value their looks more, you know, and that's really hard to get them away from that, because they're happy to, we're going to Lakeside, or we're going to, like, you know, what's the shopping centre up near you?
Trafford Centre.
We're going to Trafford Centre this weekend. What are we going to do? We need a quick bounce. I know, let's go and rob someone. They're going to house because, and they'll rob someone, probably stab, kill somebody, and get killed themselves, all because they wanted to make some quick cash to go and buy some jeans and new trainers.
Yeah.
What's that about, man?
It's mental, isn't it? It's just, well, again, it's all for social media, it's all for clout, it's all for likes.
But how do you get in their heads?
Well, if they see us doing what we're doing and we're getting the same amount of likes and views and all them type of things, it shows that you don't just have to do it this way.
I like that answer.
You know? Right, that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Show them another way.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that answer. That's really good. Man, I appreciate you coming today, man. Like, I really do. And I hope that when people view this, they can really see what you was to how you are now.
Mm.
2 years out of jail on a life license after a 12-year sentence. Did you serve the full 12?
Yeah.
And that must have been hard.
Yeah. It flew, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your direction to get out was better.
Yeah.
I see. That's good, man. So I respect you. I hope you do more things in the future.
Yeah,
I hope that you know, you carry on with the success that you are, and that no one tries to test you to a point where it costs you your liberty or your life. I got love for that, man. I really appreciate it. Definitely. Yeah, Abby.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, man. Cheers, man. Appreciate it.